Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Changing, cause I build my life around you.
Sounds just like her.
Yeah. Timing older, children get older. I'm getting older too. This is from one of the greatest albums ever made. And the reason why they say that is because there was so much, like, they was like band members smashing each other and stuff. This was like, I read the story about this and how they captured all the pain in all the different songs that they did. This album is really great.
Well, it still resonates with you.
Yeah, it does.
I don't think this was on Rumors, Hugh.
It wasn't?
No.
Okay.
But Rumors, you're right about, yeah.
Yeah, that Rumors album.
That was like, man, they were Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham were breaking up. So it was a breakup album.
Yeah, he was smashing everybody.
But they were writing songs about each other, and they would have to sing them about each other, like about themselves, basically.
How awkward was that?
Yeah. But look, the product was great. Yeah. Turned out to be some great music.
So this wasn't on the Rumors album?
No, this was on Fleetwood Mac, self-titled.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
And the reason we're singing is because Lane Johnson's going to retire?
Well,
because
when he said it, it just...
when he talked about his kids, I felt it too. Like, yeah.
I'm getting older, my kids getting older.
Parents are getting older, everybody's getting older. Douglas is getting older, by the way.
You know what it is?
When's that birthday?
The 23rd.
2 weeks
away. I was just talking about, we just figuring out what we're going to do. We got some plans. We might be making some plans.
Uh-oh. Who's invited?
Well, no, we're not doing a party. We're doing a 401k. Oh, yeah. You know, hey, listen.
If you're having a party.
If I definitely have a party, you're definitely invited, but I doubt it.
No, I was talking about the audience, everyone listening.
Oh, yeah. They're not invited.
You cannot.
They're not invited.
Can't tell people they're not invited. All right. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giulio.
Love them, though.
Phone calls, 215-592-9494. I'm ready to pull the plug on Alec Boehm. Are you with me? Or are you one? I mean, I guess there's still Boehm people out there. Shockingly. In 2026.
What, like three of our four calls have been defending Boehm?
Unbelievable.
I did not expect that today.
No, and I don't think I said today he's the biggest problem, but I'm done with him, and I think they have an alternative now with the kind of team they've built. I didn't say he's the biggest problem, but he's one of the biggest problems, and I'm done with him. I just can't watch him anymore on an everyday basis. Where do you come down on Boehm? The reaction of Lane Johnson, as he said over the weekend, this is probably his last season. I can't stop wondering if they would have taken a tackle instead of Mekhi Lemon, who, by the way, he was missing practice again today, so it doesn't sound like Lemon's anywhere close to coming back. We'll have Elliott on after practice. But, Hugh, let's react to some stuff said by Sean Mannion this weekend and about Sean Mannion, because what was said about him, I don't feel the same way. I'm curious if you did. But Sean Mannion spoke on Saturday, and this was interesting because it feels like he's going to get a chance to either use this or not use it, and I hadn't thought much about it, but it only sounds like the tush push is still part of what Sean Mannion wants to use here as the OC.
You know, it's going to be a part of what we do. It's been an extremely effective play here. You know, we're going to lean into that. And it's a, you know, it's something that, you know, this organization has executed at a high level. So along with many other elements of our offense, certainly, it's something that will be a part of.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Where do you come down on the continued use of the tush push?
I mean, it is an effective play. Yeah. So much so that the NFL got a little tizzy about it a couple years ago and tried to ban it.
Wasn't as
not
great
as much last
year.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but I think that was partly because the running game probably got a little stale.
Well, and Jurgens was banged up.
Yeah.
Dickerson was banged up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I have no problem. The only thing I felt like as the years have gone on is sometimes it felt like they were too reliant on it, almost to where they didn't look for explosives as much as, hey, let's just get 9 yards. It's three plays to get 9 yards, and we'll get a first down. That's not the most fun offense. But in terms of just the play itself, yeah. I mean, obviously, Hugh, if Jurgens is healthy and Dickerson's healthy, that's always going to be a home run play for the Eagles, right? I would imagine they've converted at a higher percentage this year than last year. If it's fourth and one, third and an inch, you know, whatever, the times we see them use it often, use it, especially by the goal line. So I'm not surprised, but I'm glad to hear they're still going to use it because it has been an incredible play for them over time. All right, I also thought this was interesting, Hugh, as they're out there on the practice field right now. Sean Mannion's view of practice and kind of what is the goal of this thing? Is it just to kind of go through things, or is it to treat it like a game? Here's how Mannion wants the team to practice.
Yeah, for me, really, regardless of position, you want to treat every practice as if it were a game. You want to try to take yourself through a game day process in terms of execution, in terms of, you know, substituting from the sideline. So I don't really subscribe to, we're going to treat practice with a different level of aggression. I think you want to, as best you can, create a game day type mindset for each player in each position group, quarterback or otherwise, within a practice setting.
Hugh, practice as a game?
Yes, I believe that. Because what Andy Reid used to do, we used to try to practice up tempo all the time, you know, from drill to drill, so you could try to best you possibly can simulate that tempo in the game. You never could do that. It's impossible to do because, you know, just like the preseason is one speed, when you play in the regular season, it's another speed. But you just want to try to keep everything on the hop and have a sense of urgency. That's why you always see when running backs catch the football, they run at least 20 to 30 yards. And they run hard because they want to simulate, you know, getting into the end zone.
You do see that a lot. They keep going.
Yeah, the receivers the same thing because you want to get used to having that a part of your DNA. You don't want to get there and catch the ball and then stop or whatever. So there's a method to the madness when it comes to stuff like
that. Let's discuss the quarterbacks just for a second with this. What do you think the balance there is between – you kind of want – let's just use Jalen, right? He's the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. Jalen to try some things and to see how, you know – because it's not a game. You know what I mean? Like in a game – he may be a little bit more cautious. It's the third quarter. They're up six. You know, he's not going to want to throw a pick on his own side. Hugh, it's practice. I want him to attempt some passes and try to thread the needle here more than I would in the game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, the quarterback's the one guy. I just want him to try some different things and kind of see how it looks rather than just – because if Jalen's thinking it's a game, he's never going to put the ball in harm's way in a practice.
No, but you have to build that trust.
Right.
You know, and I think that's the biggest thing when you talk about – on that side of the ball, because a lot of times you always hear quarterbacks talk about, if you ain't going to catch the ball, I'm not going to throw it to you. Especially when you talk about throwing a pick or putting the ball in harm's way, because at the end of the day, when a pick happens, it's immediately on the quarterback. It might not be, you know, from what we see as fans, might be the receiver ran the wrong route. It might be the receiver got rerouted. We don't know all that, but when we see the pick being thrown, it's immediately on the quarterback. So you have to be comfortable knowing that the receiver is going to be in the position that he's supposed to be in when the ball is being delivered. That's the biggest thing. When you talk about Malachi Lemon and not being in the practice right now, that's what you're worried about. You're worried about a guy that hasn't had a whole lot of practice, hadn't had a whole lot of continuity with the quarterback, that's going to go out there and, you know, in key moments, might run the wrong route or might get crossed up. It might be a crossing route or something, and he might have to, you know, like do a pick play. And he might mess up or something, and he's not in the right spot, and put the offense in a bad spot. So you want guys out there to get that timing and get comfortable with the quarterback.
One more from Sean Mannion over the week. I thought this was interesting considering the last couple of years, the Eagles have been probably one of the slowest-paced teams in the NFL. I mean, they take their time getting out of the huddle, getting to the line, and it really hasn't given Jalen an ability most times to check the play, right? I mean, if the play clock's running down, and it's 5, 4, 3. I mean, he really can't check the play. He's got to just go with what they got. Let's hear Mannion on tempo and get into the line of scrimmage.
It's huge. You know, I think it's managing substitutions, getting the play call in quickly, you know, monitoring what the defense has on the field. But these, you know, call-up periods in practice have been huge for that, both for our operation, you know, by position groups on the field, and then also as a staff just to manage kind of the lines of communication that will take place on game day. But it's critical. You know, we want to apply pressure to the defense at all times. Part of that, frankly, is how you break the huddle, approach the line of scrimmage, get lined up, you know, begin your motions if there's motions on that specific play. But it's a huge weapon and a huge part of our offense that we work on every day.
Hugh, I like that because, last year it just felt like they got to the huddle, they got to the line of scrimmage so late every time. And it almost felt like to me they were giving the defense a tell. You knew they were going to snap it at one every time, right?
Yeah, well, you want to get there with a sense of urgency and give yourself time to play with the cadence a little bit and things of that nature.
Well, and in this offense, you're going to use motion, right? So you need time
to
get the guys moving around. All right, so I liked all that from Sean Mannion. Also thought this was interesting. I'm curious, Hugh, where you come down on this. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN, they're having a discussion about the Eagles, about their offense. And listen to what he said about Sean Mannion. And I haven't heard anyone frame it this way. I don't agree with it. I'm curious if you do. Here's Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN, this weekend, talking about Sean Mannion, first year with the Eagles.
You know, guys are talking about the run game. The video we just showed of Saquon struggling last year is fantastic because what it shows is contact behind the line of scrimmage. Like, they weren't even able to get him going, and that's a big part of the problem. So I think when you look at an offensive line that is not as dominant as it was in 2024, and now all of a sudden a first-year coordinator, you know, going to a city and an organization that does not have a fan base that's super forgiving, you know, in terms of, you know, any type of struggle. So I think there's just so much pressure on Mannion, you know, to find ways to get Hurts to play well, to get Saquon back on track, and to do it, to Mike's point, with, you know, an offensive line that's been banged up, getting older, has not been as productive, and now is a new offensive line coach. So there's a lot there for Philadelphia and a lot of pressure.
Do you agree with that? Do you think there's a lot of pressure on Sean Mannion?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't see how you can't.
Well,
Okay.
You go first.
No, I'll let you go. I'll let you go.
Well, so to me, the pressure's not on him for a couple reasons. One, if this doesn't go right, and just to be clear, I think they're going to have a better offense this year than last year. I think they will, by the end of the season, their offense will be better this year than last year. Mm-hmm. But the bar is on the floor. So, like, what's the pressure? If they're just decent, he's moved them up. It's very hard to imagine any way that Sean Mannion has an offense here that's worse than last year. So he's probably going to move them up almost by accident. And if it doesn't go right, or it's choppy, the excuses are obvious. The offensive line is older than it used to be. A.J. Brown's not here anymore. And I think there will be a push to say, this is how many coordinators are we going to need here to realize the quarterback is it, not this. It's not the coordinator the way we thought before and again and again. I think we've reached a tipping point where, to me, there's not much pressure on Sean Mannion this season.
No, it's a ton of pressure on him, Joe. And I think you're right in the sense the way that you're reading it. But here's the reality of it. Jalen Hurts won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, right? And I know people hate that. I'm going to use that as a measuring stick. But he won it with an offense coordinator that went out and got a head coaching job, right?
Yes.
Then after that, his boy, Brian, was it Brian Johnson? Wait a minute, my timeline is messed
Petullo.
Up. No, it was Petullo.
It was Johnson, it was Petullo. Moore, Petullo.
Petullo, you're right. But there are those two coordinators that are in there that when you look at them and you look at the lack of success that they've had, mm-hmm. you look at this new coordinator came in and everybody's talking about how much of a genius he
right.
is and all this
right.
other stuff. If he fails, it's definitely on him.
But
it is definitely on him because he was the guy that comes in here with the new innovative offense. He's the guy that's coming in here that has all these, you know, he's worked under, you know, these stellar head coaches and things of that nature. So if this offense sputters, I hear you about the quarterback. But initially it's going to be on the offensive coordinator.
See, most times with the Eagles, it's put on the offensive coordinator. I mean, last year, Petullo was getting crushed by week two. I mean, we know what you did to him in, what was it, week three?
You got slapped across
yeah,
the
Yeah, I mean, you basically ruined the guy's career in week three. We know what you did.
What I do.
But I think that,
just keep it a bean.
I think the reality is we've gone through so many of these that the common denominators are going to start
It's
not
be,
Mannion.
It's going to be – let me tell you how this is going to play out. If – and I don't think it's going to happen. But if it goes bad
mm-hmm. –
you're going to have, like, pundits talking about, hey, it's the quarterback.
Yeah, right? You're right.
Douglas.
And the fans are going to be like, no, it's the coordinator.
But what do you think is more likely? Three out of four coordinators are just dummies, or the quarterback, the only guy that's here the whole time, is probably the reason the offense has limitations?
I think I hear what you're saying, Joe, but that's going to be a hard pill for anybody to swallow.
I think it
with
was
the success that Jalen has had in his career.
So I'll say this, as someone who we did this last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last year was a hard pill to swallow, and that's why I think everyone just placed, or a lot of people placed a lot on the foot of Petullo.
Yes.
I think this is going to be different. We already have players saying this guy's a genius. The Eagles seem committed to this scheme, this coordinator. I don't think there's much pressure on Mannion. I find it almost impossible to believe they're going to fire Sean Mannion after
okay,
this season.
Okay, now we're having two different conversations.
Well, okay, but pressure usually means there's some job security involved. I just think almost no matter what, unless they get rid of Sirianni and it's a whole new staff, I think Mannion's here next season.
Okay, now we're definitely having two different conversations. Now, as far as the pressure on Mannion and him losing his job, no. Because they've chosen him.
But
and they
that did happen to Brian Johnson and
Petullo.
Oh, no,
but it's not – like, listen, there's going to be a divide. If worst-case scenario, there's going to be a divide in the city between the coordinator and the quarterback.
Yeah.
And most of it's going to be – and I'm going to tell you, I feel like this is how it's going to go, me recklessly speculating.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
It's going to be more pundits that feel like it's the quarterback. The fan base is probably going to feel like more it's the coordinator because we've seen this before, especially if it looks disjointed. Like, in order for it not to be on Mannion, and this is something that when I said you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that's going to happen. What do they call it? A control group or whatever when you're doing an experiment.
Are you talking about Andy Dalton playing again? Unbelievable.
Are y'all going to let me finish before y'all start jumping all over me like a bunch of crickets?
No.
But what I'm trying to say is this. You got to have a control group, right? And in order for the fan base to see that it's the quarterback, you have to have something to compare it to, right? So if you say or they say it's not the coordinator, then how are you going to prove that it's not?
So I understand your point on this, and you've been saying this for a while, and I understand it. I think the control group in this case is all the other teams in the league that run this system. This is not a brand – like, this is the McVay-Shanahan system. We know this system works.
Yeah,
right?
I hear you.
So, like, if these other quarterbacks can run it, Jalen should be able to run it. That's the theory, and it makes sense, right? Jalen's a good quarterback. He's had a lot of success.
First-year coordinator.
I think the temperature's changing. I just
– I hear you, Joe, And you might be right, but I don't believe that. Okay. I don't believe that.
215-592-9494. Do you think there's pressure on Sean Mannion this season? I really don't. Now, there's the natural pressure of he's the Eagles coordinator. I get that. But I don't really think there's much pressure on him. I think Sean Mannion gets a year where people think he's really smart. Now, if he's here for 2 years in the offense, thinks that changes. Kyle, where do you come down on this? It's obvious that Hugh's not a Mannion man.
Well, I am a Mannion man. I agree with parts of what both you said. I think this season, if the offense doesn't look good and Hurts isn't playing well, I think this becomes more of the drop the act year for the fans with the quarterback.
Right.
Like, I don't know if people jump on Mannion like they did Petullo last season.
I don't believe that one.
Because of what you said. Like, at a certain point, there's only, the common denominator become very clear. And that's Sirianni, that's Hurts. But I don't think that means there's not pressure on Sean Mannion. Like, they changed a lot of things this offseason, and the biggest one, I mean, besides maybe Jeff Stoutland, A.J. Brown going, is they got rid of the coordinator, and they said, we're going to commit to this new offense. Sean Mannion's going to get full autonomy, however that looks. So if things don't go well, I mean, look, I know the bar's on the floor, but that's not the standard that we expect here, right?
No,
like, we expect this thing to look good. If it doesn't look good, then the Eagles have to ask themselves a few questions. Like, do they tear it down and then go back to what had been working? Like, I know Elliott's all over the, if it doesn't work, abandon ship and go back to the offense that was working,
that's not going to happen.
But the offense that they've been running for a few years, like the one that Jalen Hurts is comfortable with, that's a question they're going to have to ask themselves if they want to do that. And then really, if we get to the end of the year, things don't look good, there's always the option, like Hugh said. I don't think it happens, but they do have the option of, well, they can pull the plug on the quarterback. We'll see. I doubt that happens. I don't think it should happen. But then if they get to the end of the season, they see the offense doesn't work. We have a head coach and a quarterback who are both, their futures are up in the air. That means Mannion's future is up in the air too. It just does. Like, so naturally, because there's pressure on Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts this season, there's pressure on Sean Mannion. And it feels like Hurts and Sirianni have a lot of eggs in the Sean Mannion basket. So I think just like by natural order of things, there's a lot of pressure on him to make this thing work.
All right, 215-592-9494. I just wrote the names down. I'm going to frame it like this. I think there's the least pressure on Mannion of all the last four coordinators. And I'll explain why.
Yeah, probably.
Brian Johnson, they were coming off of the Super Bowl. It was Jalen Hurts' best year. So you had to try to keep that up. And then obviously it went backwards. He was fired. Kellen Moore had been a coordinator two times in the league and was fired two times or moved on from. It's kind of his last shot to impress to get a head coaching job. Right, otherwise, he probably would have fell in that category.
Yeah, but he's done it before.
No, I know, but he had been fired twice. Like, his star was about to fall. If Kellen Moore came here and it blew up, I don't think he's a head coach anytime soon. Now, he needed the work here because this was – the Dallas thing was up and down. McCarthy moved on. L.A. blew up. He needed this, because otherwise his star was about to fall. Kevin Petullo coming off of the Super Bowl. Like, don't screw it up.
He screwed it up.
Mannion's coming in off a year where they were not good offensively, and he's super young. Like, if this didn't work, work out for him, he's probably going to get another crack at this somewhere else.
Oh, no, he's going to get another crack, but he's not going to be here.
No, probably not here. But I don't think there's much pressure on Mannion. To me, it's far more on Hurts, far more on the players, far more on Sirianni than Sean Mannion. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to all this. And we have a pair of tickets to give away to the Eagles open practice on Tuesday, August 25th. Give us a great what if. Could be sports, non-sports. A great what if gets you the tickets today. The best one we hear today. Phil in West Philly up on WIP. Hey, Phil.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show, man.
Thanks, Phil. What's up today? What are you feeling?
Listen, Marcus Bone, man, it's all mental with this cat, man. If you remember now, he's got a history when he had a little struggle and he had a little problem with the fans, and he just needed to take a little seat on the bench and watch this for a little bit. And he's not alone. Exactly. Thank you. He's not alone because you got to look at shortstop. You got to look at shortstop. If they were going to make a move with that new second baseman, my man, second baseman.
Luis Arise.
He'd go to short. You put Turner at third. You sit Bone down.
Well, they could put Stott at short, and they could move. They could do a lot of things. Phil, they've been very open to moving players, which is, I think, a good thing, and I think it's going to help them in the long run, versatility. But I'm with the first thing you said. Just sit him down. I mean, sometimes you got to watch the game from a different perspective.
And that bullpen, man. Everybody, I mean, it's hard to watch, man. You know, and it's like you heard the expression that a deer with the lights in the eye. Uh-huh. You know,
deer in the headlights.
Yes. Oh, Kirkering.
We got there.
That's Orion Kirkering. Deer in the headlights.
We got there.
Man, and he's got to. As far as my what if.
Mm-hmm.
What if he throw the ball to first base?
Phil, it's a painful one, but it's a good one. I mean, it's sometimes the best what ifs are very simple. Phil, that's a good one. What if Orion Kirkering just threw the ball to first base? I mean, well, it's an out.
I've asked myself that question like a million times over the since that happened.
Well, that night, I just I
why
I still can't
why did Kirkering throw
that.
Home? Why?
Well, nothing summed up. I think the entire city's feeling than JT pointing to first base. Like
there, that's where you go.
There. And the ball just unfortunately sailed over his head. This segment brought to you by Xfinity, proud sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. All right, Eagles are practicing. They're wrapping up their practice here. Elliot's going to join us coming up in a little bit as we're live from training camp. We got a football game on Saturday, by the way. The Eagles' first preseason game on Saturday. All right, lot to talk about here. Alec Bohm, is it time to pull the plug? I'm ready. And I don't just mean tonight. I mean, like, as a full-time player with the Phillies, I'm done. I do not want to see it anymore. I'd rather Derek Hill play in the outfield, put Bryce at first. And when it comes on the Mannion pressure, is there pressure on Sean Mannion this year? I don't really feel there is. I heard Tim Hasselbeck say it this weekend on ESPN. Hugh thinks there's a lot of pressure on Mannion. Where do you come down on the pressure on Sean Mannion in his first year as Eagles coordinator? And what ifs? Best what if today gets you a pair of tickets to the Eagles open practice on August 25th. All right, coming up, a couple things Philly superstar said this weekend that we need to talk about. Well, they did or said this weekend. How much do we buy it? That's next. We're live from camp. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giulio. We're live today. Eagles training camp. Of course, WIP's back to camp from Jefferson Hill Training Complex inside a beautiful Forest River RV by Cameron. Jefferson Health, champions of care, and the official health system partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. And once again, Hugh, on a hot and sticky day, it was hot. It is cool in our Camping World RV.
Thank goodness.
I've been saying it the whole time. This is the best camper we've gotten in all the years we've been doing Eagles camp.
Yeah, man, this is nice.
I mean, you came in here drenched, and you seem like you're cool now.
Yeah, man, I'm about to take my shirt off because it was hot.
Well, how do you think you people would have responded to that?
Oh, they'd have been jealous. The fellas would have been jealous.
Really?
55, holding it down like I am.
Yeah, jealous the word?
Yeah, they'd have been jealous.
Well, Kyle, what do you think the YouTube reaction would have been if you came in here and just, you know, took a shirt off?
Not good.
Been awesome. Mm-hmm. Take this shirt off and show these abs and these pectorals.
Yeah, yeah.
You people really aren't ones to heap praise
no,
on people.
No, it's usually the total opposite.
It would have been hella shady. Mm-hmm. It would have been hella shady.
Yeah, and they would have had the screenshots every time you said anything the entire season about Jalen. They would have just thrown those back.
Yeah,
all right. 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls. Got a lot to discuss today. I'm ready to pull the plug on Alec Bohm. Just done. I don't want him in the lineup tonight. I want Derek Hill in the lineup. Put him in the – give me an outfield tonight of Marsh and Hill and Crawford, and put Bryce back at first for a few days, and just sit Bohm down.
Sit him down.
This weekend was a
–
I'm done.
You weren't the only one, though, because I saw a lot of people talking about they were
tired.
Well,
that at-bat Friday was – it was embarrassing.
Yeah,
I mean,
people –
that's why
people,
when –
perturbed. They were perturbed.
Well, Mattingly said Saturday was a planned day off. Baloney. I mean, that was because you saw him have a tantrum in the dugout on Friday night, like so many of these tantrums we've seen before. So I'm done with Bohm. I want to pull the plug. Reaction to Lane Johnson. My first thought was, other than what a career by Lane Johnson, is I really believe if the Eagles knew this in April, they would have traded up one spot or two spots above where they did and drafted a tackle. Monroe Freeling was connected to the Eagles. He went to the Panthers at 19. Eagles end up with Mekhi Lemon. By the way, not practicing again today with the hamstring. So the Mekhi thing is still on hold as we wait for him to practice. I mean, I'm at the point now here where I'm not expecting him back anytime soon. I mean, does it feel like they're being super cautious with this?
I mean, they should be.
Yeah.
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
They should be. They should be super cautious with him. So I'm not worried about that. But it's like – and, you know, like you said last week, there are you know, you can still be a contributor. You know, we saw Cooper DeJean do it.
It's a long season. Yeah.
I just think it's a little different for the receiver.
It might be. And I've already reached the point where I don't think he's going to play early this season, no matter when he comes back. They have guys that are making plays out here in camp, including Darius Cooper, every single day. And then Sean Mannion. Do you think there's real pressure on him this year? I don't. I think he has the least pressure of any coordinator the Eagles have had for 4 years. And I don't think the Eagles are moving on from Sean Mannion after the season, almost regardless of what happens. I think he's going to get a 2-year run here. So I don't see much pressure on Mannion this season. Hugh Douglas does. Where do you come down? All right, before we go back to the phones here, we do have a great prize to give away. The pair of tickets to the Eagles open practice on Tuesday, August 25th. Give us a great what if. Could be sports, non-sports. You know, we just had a what if Ryan Kirkring threw the first base. It's a great what if. Give us a great one, and best answer we get is the tickets. All right, let's hear from a couple Phillies, some stories about Phillies this weekend. One from the horse's mouth and one about them. And curious if we buy this or not. Well, let's start with Trey Turner, then we'll get to Bryce Harper. Trey Turner talking about people changing positions. Listen to the way Trey framed the defensive changes and the unselfishness around the Phils these days.
Yeah, selfless. I think, you know, all of us in here would do it, and I think that speaks volumes. You know, I think they've already said it, but stop moving over. One of the best defensive second basemans, and moving over there is not an easy ask, and he was more than willing. And, you know, same with Bohmer and Bryce. So all these guys are moving around, and I think the defense has been pretty good, you know, recently. So even with all the changes, I feel like we kind of haven't missed a beat yet. I'm sure there'll be some mess ups, but just you know, selfless by everybody in here, and I think that that says a lot.
You buy it?
Being selfless?
Well, he said everyone would have moved around. Selflessness.
Oh no, everybody wouldn't have moved. I don't buy that part. I do like the selflessness.
Sure, but he made it sound like the way you hear that is if they had. Now he wasn't.
If they
asked
Trey to
right.
do it,
he would have done.
I don't think so. It's something to be said about not asking somebody something you already know the answer to.
No, I agree with that. But isn't it kind of rich to have to say all those things if you know deep down you wouldn't have also done
well,
it?
Well, maybe he being nice. Maybe
yeah, but he said all of us. All of us, he said.
So you're basically saying he was telling a story just to
well,
be
I don't
telling.
Know. Well, if he's telling the truth, then you know what? Then shame on the Phillies for not going to him. Like if he is as willing as Stott and as willing as Harper to move, then the Phillies should have went to him and moved him.
It's one of those things.
Wait a second. He's willing to move. Then why is he still there?
I think he's starting to feel the pressure a little bit.
Maybe.
He's starting to feel the pressure, but I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a minute. I just think he's saying it.
You know what it was? It was a we statement, and I listened. I'm like, wait.
Wait, you talking about who? We?
What do you mean we?
Would you French?
You're part of that?
Would you French?
All right, the other one, and Hugh, I can't wait for your reaction to this. Dave Dombrowski was on Starkville, Jason Stark's podcast, along with Doug Glanville, and he told a story about kind of how he and Bryce patched things up. This sounded a little bit like an apology from Bryce Harper after the comments a week and a half ago about how we need help, how that went public. Let's hear Dombrowski explain it.
And I've encouraged Bryce, and I know people said that. I talked to Bryce after that, but I talked to him on Saturday night before, and we were in Baltimore and just had a chance to chat with him. And he said, I didn't mean that wasn't a personal comment. We just felt that I just felt we needed a help. And I said, you know, I get it. You know, I've encouraged Bryce, and believe me, Bryce and couple other players on our club at times What's really different is they've texted me with their ideas at times.
Hugh, Bryce like going up back to Dombrowski saying, I didn't mean it like that.
He meant it like he meant it. I mean.
But as someone that doesn't like to apologize, do you like that Bryce apologized?
Well, I mean, what you apologizing for? For being who you are?
Well, no, he should have apologized. I'm glad he did that.
Again.
He put Dave in a tough spot publicly.
Again. But that wasn't the first time he's done that.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't. So why do you feel compelled to apologize now? And then, on top of that, to me, to care what anybody else thought about you saying what you said, because honestly, Joe, feels like you've never cared any other time but to this time when you felt, I guess you felt the pressure or something of your comments.
But what's the harm in apologizing?
Nothing.
I mean, but why are you doing it now, though? Well, that's the question.
What's the harm?
I mean, there no harm, but why are you all doing right it now?
Because I don't know.
Okay, is it fair to say that he's done this before?
Yes.
So my question is, if you've never apologized before, why are you compelled to apologize
well,
now?
This one,
yeah,
this
something
one
came out recently
most
that they never repair the relationship. I don't know.
The
like
Cold
it's
War,
more
Cold
public.
War.
Okay,
a little
so
bit
you
now.
so you extend the olive branch because you knew you messed up. Okay, I get it. I guess in that sense, ain't nothing wrong with apologizing. But hell, if I ain't never apologized for the same thing that I've been doing before, I'm not gonna apologize.
Would
now.
You have apologized?
Nah. For what? For speaking my mind? Nah.
Well, he put the team in a tough spot.
Well, he been putting the team in a tough spot.
Well, he did. I
mean, every time he opened his mouth.
Well, the manager had to react, and obviously something like what
Bryce.
He said.
Oh, it's just, and every time he did, oh, that's just Bryce being Bryce. No, what about that cut when he said, oh, that's just
well,
Bryce
Mattingly
being Bryce.
Should apologize, too. What he did was a complete joke. What
do you well, I mean, how many apologies?
What do you mean, what did he do?
What did he do?
He's the manager of the team, Hugh.
He ripped Bryce
you heard what he said
day.
About Bryce.
See,
it's not his place to do that publicly.
I don't think that's as egregious. Especially
it's
when,
10 times worse.
Well, I feel like he got tired of Bryce talking trash.
I don't care. That's fine. But he can't do that publicly. He's the manager. He's supposed to be the grown up.
No, I don't believe in that.
Well,
what do you mean?
He is. He's
you know,
not. He
I don't believe. I don't believe.
You don't believe the manager's
that.
Supposed to be the grown up.
No, I don't believe in subscribing to. Hey, I'm grown. I need to be mature in this.
Well,
no,
somebody
I'm gonna
get my does. Dirty. Somebody no, does.
Especially if you throwing rocks at me, I'm throwing them back.
No,
well, who's the grown up then?
But then everything's gonna fall
not
apart.
Me. I'm not gonna.
They're
be
supposed
the
to try to keep this thing glued together. You're talking about throwing rocks back.
Don't you get tired of being a grown up sometimes? No, like
what else am I gonna be?
But sometimes it's just tiresome being a grown up. Sometimes you want to throw a brick through the window. Every now and then.
Mattingly's
the
here
time.
To be the grown-up. I don't
no,
care if
he's here
tired
to win baseball games.
Well, Dombrowski's here to be the ultimate grown-up.
Yeah, that's on him. That's on him. But I'm glad they passed it up.
No,
but
it's good
like,
for the team they patched it up.
I'm just like, why are you apologizing now? You've been
See,
you've been
this.
Being a
I knew you wouldn't like the Bryce apology.
I'm just saying.
When I saw it, I told Kyle he was going to hate the apology.
Well, is it better? It's better now than never.
I guess.
This is okay. A you thing.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
This is a you thing.
No, I mean, I will apologize if I need if I need
ooh,
to.
It's hard to get to
nah.
do that. It's hard.
It's not that hard. I am not as stubborn as I people think that I am. I'm
yes,
not.
You are.
No, I'm not.
See,
I've heard that.
Now you're being stubborn.
Yep.
Anyway.
I'm not being
215-592-9494. Your reaction to Bryce and the apology to Dombrowski. All this on the table. And give us a great what if. Best answer we get today. Tickets to the Eagles open practice on August 25th. Let's go to Quan, who's in Port Richmond. Quan, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Hugh. How you guys doing?
What's going
good,
on, man?
Quan. What's up, pal?
Not much. I'll be a really short call. I just wanted to comment on the other day you guys had a caller, Hugh, and he was speaking on, you know, how you present yourself as a black man on the radio and everything like that. I just wanted to say, as a young black man born and raised in Philadelphia, I appreciate how you carry yourself on the radio, how you do your job. You are my favorite radio host on the station. So I just wanted to get that out the way real quick.
Well, thank you very much, man. I appreciate that.
Of course. And, yeah, the Sean Mannion, he definitely has some pressure on him. Like you said, Hugh, I think it is definitely going to be a divide between the pundits and the fans.
Oh, it's definitely going to be a divide. Like, it's going to be a divide.
Yeah, I feel like most fans, if you talk to, like, most people are on Jalen's side. Like, they believe in Jalen. He is our winning quarterback. But when the season starts and if they are looking a little shaky, anything like that, I believe, yeah, the media will definitely go against him.
Go against Jalen or Mannion?
Yeah, go against Jalen. But I do think the pressure is a bit more on Mannion coming in, you know, as another new offensive coordinator for the team.
Well, I mean, like, there's the built-in, hey, he's the new guy. And the one thing, Quan, is that is true is the Eagles are not shy about moving off coaches quickly, right? So, I mean, they moved off Petullo in a year. They moved off of Johnson in a year. So, I mean, there's always that built-in, like, you don't really have job security when you're here. You got to perform, otherwise they get someone new. Quan, what do you got for us? A good what-if. Best answer we get today wins the tickets to practice.
My what-if is, what if Chris Paul actually went to the Lakers? And they didn't stop that trade from happening.
Yeah, back that was,
then. What was that, 2012, 2013?
I think it was, yeah, right around there. That was a big one where it felt like the league maybe was overstepping their bounds a little bit. Quan, we appreciate the phone call. All right, let me just say this when it comes to the pressure for Mannion. See if you guys disagree with this. If Mannion succeeds, like if this, let's play it out. Eagles are a top five offense. Mm-hmm. What is the story? Sean Mannion's a
came genius. In and fixed the Eagles.
If the Eagles struggle, what's the story?
Sean Mannion don't know what he's doing.
I don't think so. I think the story is Jalen Hurts is no longer their quarterback.
Well, okay.
I don't even agree with the success one.
Oh, fans you don't think he gets a lot of credit if they do well?
Fans are going to put that on Jalen.
Nope, okay.
They're going to say, told you it was Petullo holding Jalen back.
You know what?
Jalen becomes the story.
No, yeah, no. I think Kevin Petullo going to take a dump on. He's going to get dumped on.
I just think Mannion's in a no-lose. If he does well, the change of the offense is going to be a big story. Like, they changed the offense. They got the right offense. This is the guy. Some people are going to say keep him as the head coach. Some people are going to say he's a future head coach. All that. If they struggle, do you think a lot of people are going to blame him? They lost A.J. Brown, and Jalen wasn't good last year. So, like, what's the blame on him?
That he had another anemic offense that didn't work.
But this is his first year.
Yeah, but and that's why. That's why it's his first year.
But how could I blame him if it was bad last year? He wasn't here last
year. Well, because
– like, if you take over a bad product and it stays bad, you're not the reason it's bad.
Because we've seen a sampling size of somebody taking over in 1 year and making it to the Super Bowl. That's why.
Well,
I never said – like
you're right, but that was more of the running game.
Yeah, but I never said that this was based in logic. I never said that.
Well, that would help.
No, but listen – see, and this is the thing that I'm surprised that both of you guys don't really see. Like, when we talk about sports.
I'm agreeing with you.
No, I'm just, okay, thank you, Kyle, for once. But no, it's one of those things, man, where nobody's going to see it for what it is. Nobody ever does, Joe. Nobody's going
to
see it.
That's why I'm here.
Joe.
To try to help everybody.
Joe,
see the truth.
Ain't nobody trying to hear that.
Yeah, well, talking about. Nobody gets
someone, someone needs to tell the truth, right?
No, but it's going to be one of those, well, see, what happens when you get somebody that doesn't know how to call plays at this level? That's going to be the initial story.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be the stories come out where, just say if this goes bad, we're back in Coach Mannion and he's doing a terrific job. It's going to be a divide somewhat.
Okay. If they do well.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Would we agree Jalen and Mannion are here next year?
Yes.
If they do bad, who's more likely to be here next year?
Well,
I think it's Mannion.
To answer your question, he'll probably be here, but nobody's going to be happy about it. Say if we move on from Jalen.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be happy about it.
Well, I mean, it depends on who's the next quarterback. I'm not saying Mannion will have statues if they struggle this year. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, to me, pressure is, if you don't do well, you could lose your job or your career. And I don't see either of those things happen for Sean Mannion this season.
You know why I think that this is going to go well is because Jalen has embraced it in his own way. Jalen feels like, regardless of what we see out here at practice, that it feels like he's bought into the offense. It didn't feel like that last year.
I also think because they were so bad last year, even an incremental progress, it's going to be looked at as better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you take over something, you want to take over something that was just like for a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you take over whatever your job is and the person before you was great, that's tough, right? Because you have to fill those shoes. You have to try to at least keep the company or the whatever it is at the good level. If not make it better. What's the level of last year? They couldn't move the football.
They couldn't.
They had the worst third and out, three and out in the NFL. So
and why do most people think that was the case?
Well,
like okay, no, but, I'm not talking about us.
Sure.
I'm talking about most people.
Well, a lot of people think it's Petullo.
Yes.
But to me, there's nowhere to go but up. So even if they're not a great offense and they're okay, that's better.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So now, because to me, even though he's come highly recommended, mm-hmm. he's come with receipts, like the kids like to say. Coach Mannion and Coach Petullo are in the same boat when you talk about taking over this offense. Why do you disagree?
Because this is brand new. The Eagles committed to this. Petullo was just like
I get what you're saying, Joe. I get that. But when I'm talking about from the eyes of the fan,
yeah.
When you talk about these two coordinators, neither one of them called plays before.
I think it's good. Here's my prediction. Maybe I'm wrong. Week three, week four, I think we're talking more about Hurts than we are Mannion. Like, we're good or whatever.
Maybe later in the season, but not right away.
I don't think it's a Petullo thing this year. I do not think.
You mean a Mannion thing?
No. Like, I don't think Mannion's going to have the Petullo thing. But Petullo became a pinata for this fan base. I don't think it's happening again. Whether or not it's deserved, that's a different story. I don't think it's happening again. I think the eyes and the reality of this thing are going to change.
I think it's going to be. I think.
But that doesn't make sense.
Joe, what did I tell you when we started this conversation?
I think fans are wise to this now.
No.
Yeah.
And this is not a knock on the fans. I think it's going to be a combination of what they already feel about the disrespect that Jalen has been taking, and this is just another layer to it because you got another coordinator that's coming in and not getting the most out of Jalen initially. Mm. I think that's how it's going to go. Yeah, I do believe that.
I disagree. All right, 215-592-9494. Anthony is in Jersey on WIP. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, Joe, what's going on, man?
Anthony.
Hey, what's going on? Hey,
what's
Joe,
up, man?
What's up, pal?
He's a dope, man.
Why?
Joe's a dope. Hey, Joe, if you don't like Jalen, just say that. If you like that Mike Shanahan scheme better than you do Jalen, or the people that run it better than you do Jalen, then just say that. Then I would understand
the scheme is really good. Scheme works.
Okay, I understand that the scheme is really good, but how many Super Bowls? Jalen has won or been in more Super Bowls than the quarterback who actually ran that scheme did.
That's true.
And then, once again, Sean Mannion is a first-year
Denver ran
the first-year quarterback.
I don't know. What quarterback are we
He's talking about the Shanahan.
He's talking about the kid Shanahan.
Not the daddy, the son.
The kid, not the daddy, the son.
Yeah, Kyle hasn't won a Super Bowl yet, I know.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Right, okay, Jalen had, with Jalen's teams, Jalen's a better quarterback. Okay, now listen, right?
But hold on, but what does it tell you that the Eagles, hold on, what does it tell you the Eagles want to run this scheme?
They want to run this scheme because, right, they are trying to switch to the more modern NFL
They're trying to score more points.
I'll tell you this. It's more quarterback friendly.
I agree. Anthony, I agree with you on that.
Yeah,
yep.
Okay. The last one got fouled. Sean Mannion is a first-year quarterback. A first-year OC. Just because we believe he's good, we want him to be good. He's an evil genius. Sean Mannion never called plays before. Saying that he won't be good. He isn't right now. And just like the point when Hugh had made, if we get an established play caller in here, we've been to two Super Bowls with two established play callers.
Well, they couldn't get one. I mean, I agree, but they couldn't get one. That's why we got Mannion. I mean, they tried, right? They wanted McDaniel. They wanted Daboll. They couldn't get those guys.
I understand all of that, but it's not the first-year play caller, man. And if the first-year play caller I believe that there is more. He's more in a hot seat than Jalen is.
I just don't think it makes any sense to do all this, bring him in here, and then fire him in a year. Like, I think he's got a couple years. I just think they're committed to this.
He got a couple years, but what? Once his offense goes bad again, now what? We back at square one, right?
I think the Eagles are going to do something different if it goes bad. They're not going to just keep bringing a new coordinator. We'll see. I mean, I think it's going to be better than last year. So I think, you know, it's going to be a better offense than it was last year, even without AJ. Anthony, what do you got for us? Give us a good what if.
Hey, I got a good what if, man. I had one. I'm going to change it up, man. What if we actually
What if we actually found Bigfoot? What would we do with him?
Well,
I did see some footage.
Oh, geez. Anthony, it's a good one. Footage. It's right up Hugh's alley. Anthony, good phone call. All right. Hugh, what if we actually found Bigfoot?
Then I would tell you I told you so. That would be the first thing. And then it would just be.
Well, you would take credit for this?
Oh, yeah, because I've been on this Bigfoot thing for, like, the last couple of years.
No, I think the people that get credit are those that are actively searching.
Well, yeah, they get credit.
What
but
was the number you threw out a few years ago of people that are actively searching for Bigfoot?
I forgot, but it was quite a few.
It was millions,
I think. It was a few people looking for Bigfoot. It's like one of every five individuals. No, so it's like somebody at camp has
There are five people in our trailer.
There has
none of us are looking for Bigfoot.
I would say Jack is quietly looking for Bigfoot. He ain't told nobody.
Well, is there
I could see that.
Jack Miller would be the one that's
secretly looking for Bigfoot.
Jack is quietly looking for Bigfoot.
Also, the other people in this trailer are Tucker Bagley, Ava Graham, Hugh Douglas, and me.
Tucker Bagwell?
Yes, Bagwell.
Tucker Bagwell is not
the other four people. I could see Tucker being on a low-key hunt for Bigfoot, too.
The funniest part is the person who talks most about Bigfoot would be the least I'd expect to go
search. I've been 3D printing stuff, man. You know what? I've moved over to cosplay weapons now. I'm making cosplay weapons.
Really?
Yes. I made a couple gladiuses in honor of me watching The Odyssey.
Yeah?
I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to make some what they call the shields.
Okay.
Make a few helmets. And I'm going to make, when I get the right materials, I'm going to make Stormbreaker from the Thor movie.
Can you make me a helmet for the Jalen Wars this season?
I will make you, but see, here's the thing. I haven't figured out how to scale the helmet.
For the right
to your
size.
Head. Yeah. So I got to figure it out. So if anybody out there that has a 3D print class, let me know. I would love to take it. And then you know what I found out about my new 3D printer?
What's that?
Has a camera on it.
Excuse me.
Yeah. So I could actually physically, if I wanted to from my phone, look at my 3D print because it has a camera on it. I'm getting advanced with this 3D print.
Well, we knew this
stuff
would happen at some point. You're graduating.
I am walking in a different realm when it comes to this 3D print thing, man. I'm on top of it. You can't tell me nothing.
All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on all this. Lane Johnson announcing this will be his final year, likely his final year in the NFL. I'm done with Bowen, ready to pull the plug. And I don't think there's much pressure on Sean Mannion this year. Hugh thinks obviously a lot of people do. I think Sean Mannion almost gets a free year to try to figure this out as a first-time play caller in the NFL. Where do you come down on Mannion, pressure, all this, plus your favorite what-ifs? Best what-if we hear today. We'll win the tickets to the Eagles open practice on August 25th. All right, coming up, all your phone calls and the best of Chase Utley's speech on Friday night as he was inducted into the Phillies Wall of Fame. That's coming up, Elliott at 12:30, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.